And remember, Katrina, you must call me Doctor.
Have you ever thought what it's like to be wanderers in the fourth dimension? To be exiles?
This is the Doctor speaking. Well, one of them. Is there anybody there?
I hate computers and refuse to be bullied by them.
And their leader was called?
The Doctor.
Are you trying to tell us that you are the Doctor?
That's right. I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow so the TARDIS would be free of the force field.
You may be a Doctor, but I'm the Doctor. The definite article, you might say. Would you like a jelly baby?
I'm a Time Lord.
I'm the Doctor. Or will be if this regeneration works out. And it seems not a moment too soon.
How do you do? I'm the Doctor.
I am the Doctor!
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life!
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm the Doctor.
I'm Aldi.
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
Both eyes are cool.
It's a fez. I wear a fez now. Fezzes are cool.
Silence will fall.
Gaff, everyone, welcome back to the TARDIS Blend, the final TARDIS Blend, I would dare say, for 2010. And I'm here with my partner in crime, fellow Time Lord, Gallifreyan, Tom Charidar himself. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing great.
And we just, we've just come off our Christmas break. We are recording this the day after Boxing Day. It's the 27th of December, getting close to the end of the year. And we're here to talk with you guys about what our thoughts were on the Christmas special this year. But to kick off with, probably the latest news that we should really talk about, Tom, is the nice little surprise we got at the end of the Christmas special, which has taken the Doctor Who camp by storm on the web, and that is the mini teaser trailer we got for Series 6.
And they have the Ood.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say it. I knew. I told you, didn't I, dude? There was something well, in that trailer you're going to be very happy to see.
You said that because I'd watched it, and I think because I got mine later than you watched yours, and you had said you're going to love the end trailer, and I was like, oh, because I was putting it off because I didn't want to get tired and then pass out because it was late. And I'd been with family all day, and I was like, oh man. So I powered through. I watched it all. And I was waiting for Captain Jack so bad, and I was like, "Damn it!"
So but I was a little disappointed. You know, if Captain Jack Harkness was going to be in Series 6, if he was, let's theorize, sure. Say that he is going to be there, they wouldn't show him in a trailer. I think they would keep that as a surprise. They would probably keep that because that's a mega spoiler.
Yeah, unless he came back to the show and did a lot for it. But I don't see that happening as he's got his own show.
Yeah, but even so, you would think, because there might be something related to what they're doing for Torchwood over in the States that they don't want to give it. And the other thing is that we really don't know very much about what is going to happen in the second half of Series 6 at the moment, because, you know, the footage that we did see in the teaser trailer is mainly from what they've already filmed, which is mainly from the first block. So we got to see footage from the two-part episode that's set in the United States. We got to see footage from the Mark Gatiss episode called What Little Boys and Girls Are Made Of, or whatever that's called. And there is apparently footage in that trailer from the Neil Gaiman episode 2.
He got the Ood.
I'm not sure.
That would be... I mean, I kind of feel like it would make sense since... You know, I've seen, if you look at the Sandman mask, the original one, I don't know how familiar you are with the comics, Greg, but there's some similar ties. I'm wondering if Mr. Gaiman is as intrigued with the Ood as we are.
I don't know. There has been talk about that particular episode being tied to a second Doctor episode called The War Games. And so we got to see some Nazis and some, some other armed warriors from history in that trailer. So I'm wondering whether that's tied into that or not. So I have no idea there at all.
When is that supposed to debut, same time as last year? I guess
Series 6. We know that it's going to be in March, but we don't have a date yet. So
okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if they even bring it as forward as, say, the last Saturday in February. Because what they're doing with this season is they're splitting it in half. So they're doing the first part up to episode 6 or something like that, which is going to end with a cliffhanger. And then there's going to be no Doctor Who for the summer, and then it comes back for the fall. So it's going to be split into two seasons.
I think that'll be good. At first, I was kind of worried, but
I think it's a fantastic idea.
You know what changed my mind is watching this special, and how satisfied I really did. I honestly felt pretty satisfied at the end of it. I didn't feel like I was like, oh, I wish there was another episode I could watch.
Let's get into that in just a minute, because I want to still focus on a couple of things in the trailer before we jump to the Christmas special. I wanted to ask you first, the stuff that was filmed in America, like with the Oval Office set and the obviously the Utah and the Stetson hat and all that stuff. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I'm going to need a SWAT team ready to mobilize, street level maps covering all of Florida, a pot of coffee, 12 jammy Dodgers and a Fez. Somewhere different, somewhere brand new.
I wear a Stetson now. Stetsons are cool.
We've been recruited.
Recruited by who?
You're going to have to trust us this time.
You have to do this, and you can't ask why.
What are your thoughts on what you saw so far from the American episodes?
I was kind of like, I didn't really know what I was looking at. I was pretty happy to see, obviously, the Ood. I was psyched because it looks like Matt Smith is really playing up his, all the stereotypical old school American iconery with the hat and everything.
When he's sitting really, at the president's desk in the Oval Office was awesome. Right at the
yeah, and I'm just like, the shot of the Doctor with the beard and the weird crazy hair.
Yeah, you know what? I'm thinking that something. I think I'm starting to figure out the part of the plot based on that singular footage there. I'm guessing that's a future Doctor or something. I'm not sure, but I'm guessing.
No way.
It has to be. And
no way. No way.
Yeah, I'm thinking so, dude. No,
because then who the hell would play that Doctor?
I don't
know.
He can't
be two Doctors. He's not allowed.
Well, he pulled it off in the Big Bang.
Wait, what?
There were two Doctors in the Big Bang. And from the Weeping Angels episode, when he went and spoke to Amy, that was a future Doctor.
Yeah, but he wasn't playing both of them.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, but that was future of his Doctor, but not maybe the future version of him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I thought you mean like he's gonna play number 12 as well.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Future Doctor, as in, this is the Doctor we know, Doctor 11, in his future time stream. For some reason, stuck in Area 51 or something like that, and it's up to the past Doctor to save. I don't know. There's something weird going on there, and Moffat's playing with time loops again, I think. So it should be interesting. But the one thing I did want to point out, and not many people have picked up on this, do you remember the Lodger from last season?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good episode.
You remember the top story of the house was actually a time machine spaceship.
Yeah.
It was a form of time machine, right?
I thought it was a TARDIS.
Well, it wasn't actually he said it was someone was trying to build something like a TARDIS, meaning that it can travel time. So we'll call it a there is a difference because you don't call the vortex manipulator a TARDIS. There's different types of time traveling gear, so to speak.
I see.
But the console in that, like if you remember the console, they kind of looked like these four boards that were arranged in a circular formation.
Yeah.
You had to put your hand on the dome, on the ball to control it.
Yeah.
The same console is discovered by Riversong in that trailer. It's a different ship, though. It's a different time machine because the color formation and everything is completely different. But it's there. It's the same kind of time machine by the same type of creatures made that was seen in the Lodger episode. So the
I'm looking. I'm looking at it right now.
And it's clear to me that that episode of the Lodger wasn't just random happenstance on Moffat's part. That he's obviously put it in there for a reason, and we're going to find out that reason in this series. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put it in the trailer. What I'm saying?
Can we assume that the trailer is chock full of hints and clues about what to watch for the next? The next six episodes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. There's going to be a whole bunch of things. We're going to find out a lot more as we go on, because I'm guessing that there's going to be another trailer coming out maybe next month or February in the run-up to the launch of the season. So I guess we'll find out when that comes out. But that was definitely an interesting little inclusion, I thought, on the trailer there, and I wanted to bring that up in this episode. So fans of the last series who enjoyed the episode The Lodger, if you had any questions about that particular time machine or that ship that was found on top of the house, hopefully some of your questions are going to be answered this season.
The time engine isn't in the flat. The time engine is the flat. Someone's attempt to build a TARDIS.
No, there's always been an upstairs.
I said, think about it.
Yes. No, I don't.
Perception filter, it's more than a disguise. It tricks your memory.
Sophie! Sophie! Oh, my God, Sophie!
Controlling her, it's willing her to touch the activator.
Don't knock the hammer!
By the looks of it, we're still going to have some questions answered about Riversong this season as well, but
naked Riversong. Who wasn't waiting for that?
That was awesome.
Sexy, sexy piece of woman. You know.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Where's Captain Jack when you need him, mate? But under the Christmas special,
I think
dude,
Captain Jack would have a go.
I think he'd have a go at anything, mate. It was a fucking rock rolling down a hill. He'd have a go at it. That's Captain. Captain Jack for you. But hey, the Christmas special, you were saying before you were very satisfied with it at the end of it, and I'd have to agree, I was extremely satisfied with it. My opinion is actually that it's probably the best Christmas special we've ever had for Doctor Who.
I think you're right. I've watched quite a few of them.
There are people that disagree with me. I was having a chat with...
It just felt like Christmas, though.
Yeah.
Like, most of them are set at Christmas, and there's Christmas things happening, but they don't feel like Christmas, you know?
Well, this is the first one where it's actually based on a...
Inspired
by a Christmas tale.
They did such a beautiful job making... Like, because I was watching this, and I was like, you know, I'm going to be psyched for Doctor Who, but I could watch this with my family.
Mate,
they would be satisfied.
So pleasantly surprised because, I avoided any spoilers that were coming out for this particular episode. So for some reason, I was thinking that this Christmas special was going to connect to what the Doctor was hinting at the end of the last episode of the last series. Because as you remember, when Russell T. Davies was helming it, like everything connected. Like the end of the last episode of the season always had something connecting it to the Christmas special, and then the Christmas special connecting it to the next season. Like, you remember, like, the end of season two, all of a sudden, Donna Noble shows up in the TARDIS in her wedding dress, and David Tennant's like, what?
Yeah.
And then it goes into the Christmas special. You know, there was an immediate connection there. I was pleasantly surprised that there was no connection with, like, the whole Orient Express in Space, Your Majesty thing that Matt Smith's dialogue was going on about it.
No, it very much made cues to the previous season, which was awesome.
There were references.
We got police woman Amy and Spartacus.
I love that whole scene where they're on the bridge.
Right, like, close.
That was spectacular. So,
overall, greatest line. Not even a spoken line. Greatest line ever. We're getting an incoming message. come along, Paul.
Yeah, yeah, that whole meme is coming along really well in Doctor Who.
I really love that. I really love that they threw that in there so subtly and threw it on the screen.
He managed to throw Geronimo in there as well. If you go back and rewatch it, it's very subtly included in the episode. Some people might take from a while to pick out where it is, but it's in there. But I was pleasantly surprised with it. Now, I have had a chat with a few people online about it. I was talking with Tara Chivera the other day about it. She's a Doctor Who fan, and from the impression I was getting from her, it sounded like she enjoyed it, and Matt Smith is continuing to impress her as a Doctor in that. But you know, as a Christmas special, it just didn't do it for her. She wasn't blown away by it. But I loved it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
I did watch this with my family. My dad was asking about it, so I just brought it over and watched it. I thought it was awesome. It's something that Moffat does, which he doesn't require you to know all of these characters. Yet if you do, it only enhances the show. I really respect that about this, like his take on the Doctor. I love that the most, because so often, you know, you and I will talk about sci-fi hardcore, and you know, when we go out and talk to people who are not necessarily into sci-fi, it becomes very difficult. I'm like, oh, you should watch this episode; it's really good. I usually stray away from that. I never do that. I always tell everybody to watch Doctor Who because it's so accessible.
Well, not only that, I mean, this whole show was totally Doctor Who through and through. There was no one trying to push boundaries or anything like that. Like, you know, Matt says the line, you know, in 900 years of traveling through time and space, I've never met anyone that was not important.
Who's she?
Nobody important.
Nobody important.
Blimey, that's amazing.
Do you know, in 900 years of time and space, I've never met anyone who wasn't important before.
Which is the whole meaning behind this particular episode. It's just full of like the Doctor Who spirit that's come through for many, many years.
Yeah.
I was so thrilled with it, you know, and just some of the unexpected stuff, like you know, flying fish.
Man,
that was like, what?
I don't know, and we have to ask Tara about how can you not love lines like Christmas Eve on a rooftop, and my brain just went, what the hell?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think that's another sign. Matt is just, you know, now he's completely the Doctor. He's had a season to get into the shoes and get into the feel of how his character is going to evolve.
Well, he'd get that whole through with the crazy Doctor, you know, like the little bit of David Tennant, and we'd say he'd move in. Like, that's clearly just a Matt. Now,
like
a fast talking Sherlock for people.
There's all kinds of elements of the previous Doctors,
and then he stops whenever that machine that controls the clouds stops. It doesn't work, and he just screams at it. And I was like, well, that's funny. Like
that was total John Pertwee.
Yeah,
influence there as well, and you know, the whole of the previous series, I remember thinking to myself, wow, this guy's reminding me so much of Patrick Troughton. I think this is the first episode I've seen where he reminded me a lot of Tom Baker.
Yeah, he does quite a bit of everything. Yeah, and I feel like whatever he had taken from the previous Doctors has come into his own in this episode.
Yeah, I think we're really going to see that a lot more with this upcoming series as well. It was the same kind of thing with David Tennant, really. If you look back at that second series that they did, he was still getting into his shoes that season. And by the time Rose disappeared, and by the time Martha Jones comes along, he was the Doctor. You know, that there was no question. David Tennant was the Doctor. And I think we're going to see that a lot of fans feel that way very strongly about Matt Smith with this particular season. And I think this is probably some of the best material we've ever seen come out of Doctor Who in quite some time. And, you know, I think fans are going to be very receptive to it, especially with the upcoming series, especially considering that Moffat's doing this whole multi-series story arc thing with the silence,
yeah,
whatnot. Like, he's clearly going to be coming back to that, So, you know, it's interesting that really this is the kind of the first time we've seen like an overarching story arc that's moving across multiple seasons for Doctor Who. So it should be interesting.
So let's talk about the actors they brought on, Greg.
Oh, Michael Gambon was brilliant. Loved him. I thought he was fantastic.
Now he has been. We've seen him other places in British literature, or made two movies, Harry Potter, correct?
Yeah, Dumbledore.
I thought he did a brilliant job.
He's done a lot of other stuff as well. I mean, you know, people who are a little bit longer in the teeth like me would remember him from older shows. But, you know, he's just so adaptive, and he's just absolutely like, he played two characters on this particular episode, and both of them stood out clearly on their own.
Yeah.
Which is a sign of a very good actor. And just some of the responses that he has for Amy Pond and for, you know, the Doctor are just said with such grit and passion. It's just so, like, I despise Christmas. It's just, his delivery is so brilliant. And he just fits so perfectly into Doctor Who that it surprises me that, I could be over speaking here because maybe he was in a much older episode. I wouldn't know, but you know, it surprises me.
Well,
he hasn't been in.
He played a wonderful Scrooge-like character, and he made me believe.
Why are they still singing then?
Because we haven't told them. Sir, I understand you have a machine that controls this cloud layer. If you can release us from it, we still have time to make a landing. Nobody has to die.
Everybody has to die.
Not tonight.
Tonight's as good as any other night. How do you choose?
Doctor?
Yeah.
Are you hearing this?
I can hear.
He's here.
Where is he? Doctor!
Well, I mean, the whole thing is inspired by A Christmas Carol. It's not a Christmas Carol, but it's inspired by it, clearly. And, you know, the nice little twist of The Ghost of Christmas Future, I thought was really brilliantly done. It wasn't what I was expecting. I was actually expecting him to do the literal sense and make him hop into the TARDIS and go to the future and find out how much of a batty old man he was. But they twisted that on me. I was pleasantly surprised to see that little twist there. That was
the little kid. Well, yeah. You think about it, and you see yourself being awful as a child. That would quite literally change you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if most people right now would think, okay, well, if I saw myself well in the future and I'm dead and no one came, it wouldn't affect me and I didn't give a shit because I'm dead, you know? And I'm already a crotchety old you know, person. And but if you're a small child and you see yourself acting like, you know, someone as wretched and horrible as how you view your father. And I think the younger version of him even says, you know, asks if it's his father. Which is, like, I guess, why they, you know, had him play two roles. And I thought that was interesting.
The early figures we were getting from England are that they got about 10 million viewers on Christmas Day for this episode. No numbers for the USA, but it was broadcast on Christmas Day in the United States and the UK, and then a day later on Boxing Day in Australia and Canada. So be interesting to see what kind of viewership they got overall across the world. But, yeah, very good episode, brilliantly done. I like how Arthur Darvill finally got it added to the opening credits.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
And although I was a bit disappointed that he wasn't in it as much as what Amy and the Doctor were. I mean, this is purely Matt's Amy episode.
And I liked it like that because I think that most Christmas specials kind of go off and do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have two companions that just work as well with Matt Smith's version of the Doctor, you tend to never want to leave them out. And I do hope they stick around beyond, you know, even this next upcoming season as well, because I think they just add a lot.
Oh, not only did we get a Fez in this episode, we also got the Tom Baker scarf as well.
Did we get the scarf?
Yeah. One of the times they opened the icebox that Catherine Jenkins was in, the two of them were wearing Tom Baker scarves, which I thought was pretty cool.
And it was actually Tom Baker's scarf?
I think so. I don't know if it was the original or not, but
I'm gonna go. I'm getting a Tom Baker scarf.
Yeah, you told me that.
It is now. I think it's surpassed 13 feet. My lovely girlfriend is about to give up. She didn't realize. She started it on my birthday. It turned into a Christmas present. With the amount of time and energy and different colors of yarn. And it's, you know, three times the length of a human.
So looking forward, I've got a list here of what we're looking at for Series 6. So far we've got 7 episodes listed for the first part of Series 6 on Wikipedia. The first 2 episodes written by Stephen Moffat, set in the United States. The third episode written by Neil Gaiman. The fourth episode written by Mark Gatiss, who needs to redeem himself after writing Victory of the Daleks.
that was him.
Yeah. Then it's another 2-parter by Matthew Graham, and we've got names for those episodes. It's called The Rebel Flesh, and part 2 is called Gangers, and that's all we've got on that. And then the cliffhanger episode is Stephen Moffat, and I guess part 2 of that would be episode 8, which will be coming in fall 2011. So we've got a lot of stuff coming ahead for us. So I'm guessing it's either going to be late February, early March before we see a broadcast of that stuff. And obviously here at the TARDIS Blend, we'll be giving you, we'll be doing like weekly reviews of those episodes when the season starts. Just jumping into geeksofdoom.com, I wanted to send a shout out to our very good friend Dave Three for his spectacular artwork that he did for the Christmas card this year.
Yes,
see that with the Dalek Christmas tree.
I thought
that was absolutely brilliant. He did a fantastic job on that. I think it was well received as well. And as a matter of fact, it even got picked up by IO9 and posted over there. Yeah, they did a compilation of the geekiest sci-fi Christmas cards done online, and Geeks of Doom got a mention over at IO9. So that was
good. Good folks over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm constantly impressed every time we meet them at a convention. They're very nice.
Also worth mentioning, seeing as there's some of the recent news that's been happening at Geeks of Doom about Doctor Who, the DVD and Blu-ray for A Christmas Carol is coming out on February 15th, 2011. And I'm guessing that that date has been specifically chosen because I'm guessing it'll be close to the launch of the Series 6.
Yeah.
So those details are on Geeks of Doom. The other thing I wanted to make mention, Empress Eve picked up on this and I posted about it at Geeks of Doom. Some of you Doctor Who fans out there are no doubt obviously Douglas Adam fans as well. Douglas Adams, Tom, as you probably know, he cut his teeth on Tom Baker years of Doctor Who as a script editor, and he also wrote a couple of episodes for them. And he wrote an episode called Charter, which was never broadcast or completed because there was industrial action.
I read about this.
And so Douglas Adams took elements of that and used it on his future stories that he did elsewhere. And he created a character called Dirk Gently from Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. And BBC are launching a new show about Dirk Gently. So,
I didn't realize that there was a connection there. And I read the story and I read the headline and I was busy and I was like, I know I should read that because it's something to do with the BBC, but
yeah, apparently elements from the unaired episode of Doctor Who were used in Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. So I'm not sure if they kept them for the episode that they're making for the BBC, but apparently that's coming soon. So Douglas Adam fans, you know, check it out, and Doctor Who fans, if you're interested, hopefully it gets aired over here on BBC America as well.
My methods of detection are based on an almost unswerving belief in the fundamental interconnectedness of all things.
Stephen Mangan is Dirk Gently.
Don't you get it? These are all part of a web of events connected by a common thread.
In the first ever TV adaptation of Douglas Adams' Holistic Detective.
No doubt you're still clinging to the misguided belief that it was all just a coincidence.
But it was, wasn't it?
Dirk Gently, coming soon to BBC Four.
We've got some big Torchwood news as well, mate. The actor, what's his name, Mickey Pfeiffer? He is probably more well-known recently for being the FBI agent in the Lie to Me television show with that's been playing over here in the States. He is going to be acting as a CIA agent in Torchwood, The New World. He's going to be a main character there, so we're not exactly sure where he's specifically going to fit in the crew for Torchwood, whether he's an ally or an enemy, but that was certainly big news that came through in recent weeks.
He's a big name actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in the Dawn of the Dead remake. He's been in
Him in that too.
He's been in the 8 Mile. He was in 8 Mile.
Yeah, more recently he's been known for the Tim Roth show that he's been in, which is Lie to Me.
I haven't actually watched that, but I stuck it on my Netflix queue after learning that he had joined the cast on Torchwood.
He's a pretty good actor. I'm looking forward to seeing this new Torchwood. It's intriguing me the more news that comes out about it. If anyone else is interested in anything to read in this post-Christmas time, there's another Christmas special from Doctor Who, a free ebook from BBC, and that is also available in a news report posted by Empress Eve at geeksofdoom.com.
We've been going nuts on the Doctor Who news.
Yeah, man, why not? It's all cool.
It's all Greg's doing.
No, not at all.
Greg was like, Eve, we're going to have a talk. We need more Doctor Who.
Oh, so the
you said, okay. And so that's why there's more Doctor Who.
One more thing I want to talk to you about before we close down for the night, mate. The Sonic screwdriver. He broke it again, and now he doesn't have anyone. Do you reckon that his next one is going to be the one that gets given to Riversong, or it'll be completely different?
I don't know. I think they had the fish at the end, or the shark. I'm wondering if he got the second half of it back.
I don't know, because he says to Kazran when he hands him the broken half.
Yeah.
He says I'm gonna need a new one. I'm gonna need a new one anyway, so you can have this.
Yeah. I might be buying a new fake Sonic screwdriver. I bought nearly all the other ones, and I think there was only like two episodes that come out, and I went to the Chicago C2E2 and picked it up and immediately emailed Greg a photo and was like, check this out.
Yeah, that's right. We might have the same kind of thing happening next year, mate, if they come up with any, because they haven't shown him with the Sonic screwdriver in this trailer, so I'm thinking that there's going to be a new one this season, so it'd be interesting to see if it looks like the one that he eventually gives to Riversong. So that'll be interesting to see. And the other thing I noticed was this the end of the easy plot device known as the psychic paper?
What's that?
Because he shorted it out when he lied to the kid, said that he was a mature adult, and all it was of squealy lines.
Oh yeah. The other thing I would pose to you before we take off: I want to see Marilyn Monroe a cameo. Seeing as how,
like Queen,
she
Elizabeth
called the doctor. I love
that. Guys, we've really got to go quite quickly. I just accidentally got engaged to Marilyn Monroe. How do you keep going like that? Do you breathe out your ears? Hello, sorry. Hello, guys. She's phoned a chapel. There's a car outside. This is happening now. Fine, thank you. I'll just go and get married then, shall I? See how you like that. Marilyn! Get your coat!
Marilyn, get your coat.
Hey, wouldn't it be funny if it was Marilyn Monroe that calls the doctor to America because there's problems with JFK or something? Because she had relations with the Kennedy brothers, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
That would be interesting.
Man, and you know what? Like, I'm going to be very angry if by the off chance someone who's close to that that writing staff finds out that we know and we've said something and they change their mind.
I don't think that's going to happen. They're too far into it now to make any changes. But they're, as they have been with, you know, the last few seasons, they've been very tight-lipped as to what's actually going to be happening in, you know, the major spoilers in the episodes and stuff like that. So, which is always good. It's always nice to get a surprise when you're watching Doctor Who. So I guess we'll wait and see how it goes. So that's all I've got here, mate, on my list of things we need to look at. And did you have anything else that you wanted to bring up real quick?
No, not at all. Let your friends know about TARDIS Blend.
Yeah, spread the word. Let everyone know that TARDIS Blend is here at geeksofdoom.com. And when we're not doing the TARDIS Blend or posting articles over at geeksofdoom.com, you can catch Tom on a weekly podcast with Mr. Baby Man and a few other people called The Drill Down, and you can listen to that at thedrilldown.com. And weekly you can catch me with the infamous Silent J74 on another podcast called Social Blend, which is at social-blend.com.
That's a fun show.
They're both fun shows, and
I got to host a few times.
I know you. You guys are doing last month. You're doing this is like the last one of the year for you guys. And same with us. We're doing a year-end review, and you guys are doing a year-end review on tech. So they're both going to be big episodes this week. So if you're into tech and you're interested in what are the biggest stories of 2010, both the Drill Down and Social Blend are going to be looking back at them this week. So feel free to check them out at those websites. And that's all from us, and we will see you again in, I guess, a few weeks, maybe a month or so. It depends on what kind of Doctor Who news we get out there. But we'll see you for the next TARDIS Blend right here at geeksofdoom.com, and we'll catch you then. We'll see you next time, Tom. Tom?
Yes. Oh, yes.
See you next time. Dilly gaff, everyone.